Well, good morning to you again. Open your Bibles. Let's go back to the book of Jonah again. I think we stopped right there as we, probably about verse 9 of chapter 2. And trying to get these glasses cleaned up. I can't see with them. Can't see without them. So I guess it's time to get a new pair, right? And so y'all be in prayer for me this morning. Pray that I can stand here for this amount of time. Amen. Jonah, as I said, is one of my favorite books. And I think that if we put a little study time into it, you know, when you go home and you read it yourself and you study it for yourself, God will just talk to you like he does at no other time. And every time I go through the book and every time I read it, I learn more about me. That's what I like so much about the book of Jonah. And I think that every one of us can apply this to our lives in some way or another. Because at one time or another, most all of us have run from God in one way or another. And a lot of us are still running from God and don't realize we're doing it. You know, so in chapter 1 of Jonah, we talked a little bit about his attributes. And that was, I wanted to get our focus, our mindset on some of Jonah's attributes. Because it kind of tells us a little bit about Jonah without knowing him. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same way with us, because we can apply all those attributes to ourselves. I mean, you know, we knew that he was unfaithful, and his unfaithfulness brought what? Disobedience. And he was proud, and pride brings us all down. But and he was cantankerous, and we're going to see that again here in just a little bit. And it's amazing. We talked about this last week, or how all of us, it's not until we get to the very bottom that we're willing to turn back to God. And that's so sad, because we sacrifice so much that of enjoyment and pleasures that God has given to us. We lose a lot of these joys out of our own stubbornness, you know, because we, you know, there's a lot of examples I could give you. And just simple things, because there's a lot of complicated things also, but just little simple things, the way we dress. Or the way we present ourselves in public, little things like that. I was telling some of them yesterday. There was a young lady. I took my wife out for her birthday dinner last month. Yeah, she had another one. She's had a bunch of them now. You tell her that. Tell her I said that when you see her. She took her out for her birthday dinner, and this young lady was there and waited on us. And I always like to ask them some questions. I don't tell them who I am, especially if they don't know me. And I try to get a little information out of them, because I like to witness to them. And this young lady, In the process of me talking with her, I found out she was just so heartbroken over the church. She was really angry at the church. So at this point, she doesn't attend any church. She doesn't want to talk about any church, because she's been hurt. And this is the problem that we have with lost people. If you are a Christian, your testimony is so important. Because this young lady is now angry with God for something God hasn't done. You know, so if one of us as a Christian, if we have a bad attitude today, and we were to say something to this young lady that offended her in some way, and what's the easiest thing for a lost person to look at you as a believer? You're naturally a hypocrite. I mean, most of us, if you look at the way we live our lives on a daily basis, they could say we're hypocrites. But see, they don't understand. It's like Dr. Bradley said 2 weeks ago at Senior Patriots, there's two kinds of people in the world. You have saved sinners and lost sinners. But see, lost people don't realize that. So when they see you and you do or say something that is hurtful to them, being as prideful as we are as people, I mean, that's the sin nature of man. They take everything directly and personally, especially if they think or know that you're a Christian. Because being a Christian, you shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't be saying things out of hatred or being cantankerous about anything. You shouldn't do that. And as we read through Jonah here, and we look at the attitude that Jonah has towards God, folks, that's a lot of us today. I said something Sunday night about people who has not forgiven their loved ones. A son, daughter, cousin, brother, sister, mother, father, or whatever. Imagine that. God in his grace has forgiven each and every one of us. We all have salvation because God has forgiven us our sin. That's the only reason we have salvation. It's not because we're good people. It's because God has forgiven us. And yet we're too good to forgive a brother or a sister. Now see, that's pride. That's the same pride that Jonah has. That's the same stubbornness that Jonah had. It's no different with you than it is with Jonah. Every one of us have some of these attributes we carry with us on a daily basis. And because of that, when we carry those things with us, just like Jonah, then we're being disobedient to God. And disobedience to God brings storms into our lives. We talked about that in chapter 1. And with the storms that we have in our lives, we share them with other people unbeknowingly. It's not just our storm. I said this before when I was a teenager growing up. What I do is my business, is my life, it doesn't affect you. But that's not true. You know, we say those things out of ignorance, where us being born again believers, we ought to know better than that. But we sometimes still carry that same attitude and we're 70 years old. But it's just not so. A storm that comes into your life can bring other people into it. Or maybe they are in a storm and they bring you into their storm. That's like we saw with the mariners on the ship. But now as we went through the chapter, we saw how those mariners did out of Jonah's disobedience. God took the bad and turned it into good. And those mariners were saved. They become believers. They knew that his God was God. So God took bad and made good out of it. God's good about that, isn't he? We got a good God. And then as we moved into chapter 2, and Jonah's in the midst of the storm, and God had prepared a great fish or a whale to swallow up Jonah, that's when Jonah reached his very bottom. Now remember, Jonah wanted to flee. What started the whole thing is Jonah wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord, because he didn't want to obey God and go and witness to a crowd of people that he felt like didn't deserve it. Now, how many of us have ever done that? How many times some of us have never been soul winning. You really ought to go soul winning if you've never been soul winning. It'll be a blessing to you. And this is one of our fears, just like Jonah feared things. Well, we fear going soul winning because we think we're going to fail. That's not so.
That's right.
You cannot fail as a soul winner.
That's right.
But let me just share something with you. You can't save anybody.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care who you are. You're not going to save a single soul.
Amen.
All you can do is present the gospel.
That's right.
God does the saving.
Amen.
And if God pricks the heart of an individual because you brought the gospel to them, you'll receive a blessing just for that.
Amen.
You know, I've been sitting here and preachers preach sometimes and you wish that you were lost just so you could get saved that night. So you can only get saved one time. But have you ever heard a message that you just felt so powerful? You're like, man, I'd like to get saved myself, but I'm already saved. Yeah, that's good. But going soul winning is something we all should do. And all you got to, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have all the Bible knowledge in the world. All you've got to do is present the gospel. And if nothing else, tell them how you got saved. And if you don't know how you got saved, then maybe you need to get saved. Amen? Because if you're saved, you're going to know you got saved. I'll never forget the day I got saved. It was just like it happened yesterday. I mean, it's like it's branded into your mind. I'll never forget the day that I found God's grace. You know, so if you don't have that, then you need to examine yourself to make sure that you are saved. You know, I believe the time is at hand. I believe the trumpet's going to sound any day. We might hear it today. And it would be okay with me if we do. I feel bad. You know, I feel for the people that's going to be stuck here. And the ones, you know, it's so sad because there's going to be a lot of church folks that's going to hell. Because they're trusting in their religion rather than trusting in the things of God.
That's right.
And all of that is because of the same things that Jonah's going through right here. You know, we're so stubborn sometimes that we just won't let the gospel sink in. I know people that's been in church for years and years and years and cannot give you a pure testimony of salvation. Now, there's an issue there. And the problem is we're so stubborn, we're so proud. Well, I've been here for 40 years. I'm not walking that aisle. Well, you're afraid somebody might laugh at you? I'll let the whole world laugh at me to walk down that aisle and get saved. Because I'm telling you what, they can laugh you right into hell if they want to, but I'm not going to let them laugh me into hell.
That's right.
You know, when you get to heaven, you can care less who laughed at you. See, that's the pride. That's man's pride.
Yep.
And it's false pride. Folks, we are nothing. Think about where you came from. Think about where you were made. How did God form Adam? Out of the dirt of the ground. Dirt. I heard somebody say one time, I can't remember who it was now, but he said we're just walking, talking dirt balls.
That's right.
Aren't we? And we're so proud of that. We're just so proud of that. Folks, we got to humble ourselves. You know, we need to let go of what we think that we are, because we're nothing without Christ.
Amen.
We need to turn that loose and humble ourselves before God that is all that.
That's right.
And when we do that, our lives will be changed. And even then, as Christians, so many of us, born-again believers, good people, good Christian folks, and we still can't let go of the worldly things. We're still stubborn. A brother said something, or somebody done something, or somebody was raised up higher than me, and all the foolishness of the world that means nothing.
That's right.
If the trumpet sounded today, and God snatched you out of here right now, what would matter to you? What here on this earth would matter to you?
Nothing.
You might have a loved one that you're concerned for. But outside of that, what does a new car or a home, or what does any of these things matter to you? Does it matter what position you were working or position that you held? Or none of those things are going to matter. They're going to look so stupid to you at that point. You know, God says that we're going to know as we are known. Dr. Carter preached on that one morning. And that was 25 years ago, but that burnt into my mind. And I at first did not understand what he was saying, and I'd read it, and I just couldn't grasp that. But if you don't understand that, what that means is you're going to know as God knows.
Right.
See, God knows every hair on my head. I don't, but I'm going to.
Amen.
Think about that. I mean, that's powerful. But that's where we're headed to in Christ. But folks, in this world, while we're here, in the time that we're here, we need to take a lesson from what we learned from Jonah. You can read through this every day and find something else about you. Some part of your life that you thought was so good, that's not all that great. Because of our attitude and the attributes that we carry with us every day. So when Jonah, here in chapter 2, Jonah's fleeing from God. He wanted to be out of God's presence. Well, that's the way the world is today, isn't it? It wants to be out of God's presence. It wants God out of everything. We've kicked him out of our schools. We've kicked him out of our homes for the most part. Now we've kicked him out of our churches. You read about the Laodicean church age. You can go to a lot of churches today and you'll hear about anything and everything, but you'll never hear about Jesus. You'll never hear about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. You'll never hear about it. We've kicked him out of the church house. And that's what they want. They want to be from the presence of the Lord. Well, that day's coming. And it's coming quick. And just like Jonah, they're going to get what they think they want. But then like Jonah's going to find out. Jonah found out here at the end of chapter 2 that that's not really what he wanted. So Jonah repented of his sin. It's so sad that he had to get so low. He was in his own little hell, but he repented. And in verse 9 in chapter 2, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." Now see, we got to remember that he was a preacher man. He was a prophet. Well, so now then, so if he's a prophet, he had at some time or another, he had committed to God to be a servant. Well, now he's saying, okay, I'll pay that vow. I'm going to do that. Well, folks, don't let yourself get into the situation that Jonah's in before you say, okay, God, I'll do that. And listen to what he says in verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon dry land. So here he is. He's been spit out of the fish whale's belly. Now the word in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. In other words, he's not interested in what Jonah thinks. He's telling Jonah, you preach the preaching that I told you to preach. That's what he's telling him. So now Jonah's fixing to go into this city. But I want you to look as he goes into the city. I want you to look at the attitude that he goes into the city with. Yeah. Folks, you would think after being at the bottom of the barrel, as low as you could get, and you look back and you see that God is a gracious God, and God snatches you up out of the belly of hell, you would think that Jonah would say, Lord, we're going to do it your way. But I want you to look what he does. Look at verse 3. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, just like he told him to. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. It was a large, super large city. But before we go into that city, I'm going to go back to verse 1 of chapter 3 where it says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I want you to notice that the word came to him the second time, but God hasn't changed his mind. God still wants Jonah to go to Nineveh. And I'll tell you, folks, if Jonah had not gone to Nineveh, God would have found another Jonah. Because God's plan is the way it's going to be. What he wants done, that's what's going to take place. So if we're not going to submit ourselves to him, he will find somebody else that will do it. But folks, it might be hard on you until he makes that decision, amen? So in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his preaching. Now, some people say, well, we don't know. He might have preached on. He may have, but the Bible doesn't say that. According to what I'm reading, he preached 8 words. I think he's being cantankerous. I think he still has an attitude. Now, and we're going to see that a little bit later on. Just a little bit down the road, we're going to see that. Now, see, after all that's taken place, I'm going to do what you told me to do, Lord. But he still has an attitude. Boy, does that remind you of anybody at all today?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. But it can't get rid of that attitude. That's the sin nature, the depravity of man. We just can't get rid of that. And as long as we're in his fleshly bodies, we're going to tote it with us. But we're going to see right here that he's going, okay, I'm going to do it. But he's got an attitude. Now, that, to me, when you think about it, you're like, wow, how can this man go through all he went through and still have an attitude? See, it's so easy for us to think that about Jonah. But what about us? How much have we been through in our lives and we still have that attitude? No matter how good God is to us, we still have that attitude. You let the air conditioner go off in here and see if everybody don't cop an attitude. Yeah, the air conditioner quit working. I'm going home. I'm not sitting in here sweating like this. It's crazy. Or let it get a little too cool. Well, you know, it's cold in here all the time. Well, let me ask you this. Was it cold last week?
A bit.
Yeah. Well, then you know it's going to be cold next week. Bring a blanket or a jacket, because obviously you're cold. I'm not cold. I'm just about to the point almost to sweat. So I don't want to turn the air conditioner up any. I don't. Of course, that's up to the preacher, but if he does, he will. But until then, bring a jacket. So you got a choice. You can either bring a coat, bring a sweater, bring a throw, or you can sit there and complain. So you can be like Jonah. See, but we're not like Jonah, are we? We're not like him. But see, we do these little things every day in our lives. Now, you and I can laugh about it because it really don't mean anything to us, really. But to lost people. If there was a lost person in here, it means something to them. Everything's about them, see. So that's why our testimony, that's why it's so important that we not be like Jonah. That's why it's so important. How many times have you heard Pastor Carter say, why can't you just take a little wrong? Why can't you just suck that up, buttercup? Let it go. Don't worry about it. Why do you have to make a stand on every little thing? You know, sometimes you just take it. Move on. It does not matter. And it truly doesn't matter. It's not going to mean anything at the judgment seat. Okay? But we just don't want to let go. In verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now see there, Jonah went in with an attitude. I'm going to do what you told me to do, but I'm going to do it my way. And that's what he said. And he preached 8 words to Nineveh. And isn't it amazing how God again shows his goodness, his power, his grace, and Nineveh believed God. See, that just proves to me that it's not the man. It's not the man. It's the God behind the man. See, it doesn't matter what preacher you put in the pulpit. If he's preaching God's word, God's people are going to hear what God tells them to hear. I've heard Pastor Carter say he'd been up here and preached a message. When he got to the back door to shake hands, somebody was telling him how good that message was and the reason, and had nothing to do with anything he said. Okay? But that's what they heard. That's what God laid on their heart. Because, see, God knows what each and every one of us need. So it's not the man, it's the God behind the man. And I see that right here. And in verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Folks, this is back in the Bible day, this was a form of humility. They would put on his coat and sit in ashes, and this was showing their repentance and their humbling themselves before God. And isn't that what we need to do? If we as a nation today would do the same thing, humble ourselves before God, God would heal our country.
Amen.
And the problem is we won't do that. And we say we will, but we won't. Churches today don't even pray the way they used to. And I know they don't. How do you know? I can see the results. You can look into society, folks, everything that's going on today. We can blame it. It's always easy to go back to the garden and point fingers. It's not us, it's somebody else. How about our school system? It's not us, it's that public school. Now let me ask you this, who owns it? Are you part of the public? Yes. We allow these things to take place. We allow these things to get to where they're at. I remember back when I was a child, they took prayer out of school. Where was the church then? Where was the cry from the church? There should have been a cry across the land like they've never heard. The churches should have stood up and never allowed that.
Amen.
But you didn't hear from them. When they say something about the homosexual movement, where's the church? You don't hear the church. You don't hear them hollering and screaming about it. Matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. A lot of so-called churches are inviting it into their church house. That's what they're doing. They have a wrong attitude. They got some of the same problems. They don't want to humble themselves before God. That's their problem. In verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king, and his noble saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Now this king went through the extent. He wasn't even going to let a chicken have a drink of water. He's like, brother, we all of us are going to humble ourselves to God. Those cattle and those chickens belong to us. They're not eating either. You see, he was serious. He was serious. He meant what he was doing. He humbled himself before God. Folks, isn't that the way it's supposed to be in our household? Men, who's supposed to be the head of the household? I know the women don't want to hear this, but the man's supposed to be the head of the household. But yet, mama got to put her pants on and run the house. That ain't right, folks. How do you ask God to bless your home? when you won't even step up to the plate and be what you're supposed to be in the home. It starts right there. You know, you got to have leadership. You have a chain of command. And that's where it all starts. So in your household, if you're not the head of the household, you've already broken the chain. And then yet we're going to ask God to come in and bless our home. It's not going to happen. God's not going to go against what he himself has set in order. But see, we don't want to see that out of pride. And the women, it's nothing against you. I think you're the greatest things on earth. But I think you should be set a little higher than that. It's not your responsibility to worry about paying the bills. You shouldn't have to worry about that. You shouldn't have to decide which church you're going to. I think it's sad when a woman has to tell her husband, let's go to church this morning. That's sad. How about when you sit down and eat a meal and the wife has to pray? That's sad. I see so many times a family will go out and they'll have a child to pray. You know why they do that? Because they don't want to be seen praying in public. Folks, that's not taking leadership. You as a husband or a father should be proud of the fact, and you should be honored that it's your place to ask God's grace upon your meal. Amen. You should be honored to do that. Amen. But we can't do that. We carry too much pride. And then we can't wonder why. Then we wonder why in our homes, even in the church house, why we have so many problems in our homes every day. Why our children go the way they go. It's all because we have the same problems that Jonah has. We're full of pride. We're unfaithful to God. And folks, that's being unfaithful. When a woman tries to step up and take a place, that's not hers. That's just as wrong as a man not taking his place. Amen. And it's being unfaithful. And it just sets things in disorder. It's just not the way you do things. And a lot of women don't like to hear that. But gentlemen, you need to put your britches on and take control of your household. Because I promise you, when you stand before God, you're going to answer for your household. Amen. You know, God's not going to look at your wife and say, why did you let your children do this? No, he's going to look at you. Yep. You're the head of the household. And how do you expect your children to go out and be godly men, grow up to be godly men, praying? And I'm going to tell you, if you're not praying to the Lord, you're asking trouble in your household. Amen. So, but we're not teaching our children to take that role because we're not standing up and taking that role in our household. And some people say, well, you're just a tyrant. No, that's the worldly view. Yeah. I'm head of my household because I love my wife and because I loved my family. Yeah. I didn't want my wife to have to deal with those problems. It's not her place. That's my responsibility. That was my place to deal with all the problems. It was her place to keep the nose wiped and food on the table and cook a good meal and wash the clothes and be a happy mama. And when it comes to discipline time, this is something else, folks. Who is supposed to discipline the children? Amen. The father. Dad beats them. Mama hugs them. That's the way it is. You know, you got to have obedience in the home. I could just look at one of my boys, and that was it. I didn't say a word. I looked at one of them. They knew what the next step was. So when they were doing something wrong, I looked over like that right there. It was it. Done deal. I didn't have to say a word. But if I did have to get him, he'd run to mama. And mama hug him up and love him. They need that. They need to know that there's discipline and there's love. We need a balance. That's why we have mamas and daddies. That's why Satan is so prevalent in your home. That's why Satan wants to divide you, just like he's dividing the nation right now. You divide and conquer. And that's exactly Satan's plan, and he's good at it. He's really good at it. And that's what's happening to our nation today. Now, Satan has got the family divided. Now he's dividing the people in parties. And what happens when you're divided? A nation that's divided against itself is not going to stand. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. There's so much turmoil going on. So when I see all these things today, that's the reason I love reading through the book of Jonah. I read this and I just see all the little things. As I was growing up and being a father and a husband, I see all these things that I did wrong. And just like you, I did them wrong. And a lot of it in ignorance. I didn't know or I didn't understand because somebody didn't know or I wasn't in the right place to get taught the right way, the right things. But all these little things in our lives matter. And all the storms and everything that comes into our lives, every bit of that matters. And so many times we get off a track, just like Jonah did. He got off a track because of somebody else. Because he didn't want God to share his grace with those other people. Folks, you understand that you and I, when you're angry at a brother or nephew or mother or daddy, you understand you're doing the exact same thing. You're asking God's grace in your life. You want God to bless you. You want him to bless you spiritually. You want him to bless you financially. You want him to bless you health-wise. And then you hold begrudge a brother or sister or mom or dad because of something they said 30 years ago. Or because of something they've done. Maybe they married somebody you didn't want them to marry. Maybe your child did. Does it change anything now? It's a done deal. If they're married, what are you going to do? Now you're just going to be mad at them? Think about that. Because that's what Jonah's doing. He's looking at these people, and he's saying these people don't deserve God's grace. And when we harbor these same things in our lives, that's what we're saying. We're saying that those people, my brother or my sister or cousin, whatever, what I would be saying is that they don't deserve God's grace. And then we're putting ourselves above God. Folks, all of these things are sin. Every one of them. It all starts with one little thing in our heart, and it grows and it snowballs into something bigger and bigger and bigger. And as Christian people, I think back about that young lady at that restaurant, how bitter and how angry she is at the church. She didn't know I was a pastor at the time. I did tell her, and I did explain to her that myself is just like she is or anybody else. We're sinners. And sometimes we do the wrong things at the wrong time, or we say the wrong things at the wrong time, and it causes hatred or bitterness on their lives, like that young lady. So see, I don't want to see this young lady go to hell because she's mad or bitter with somebody else that's going to heaven. But that's the situation. So all I could do at that point was to pray for her and ask that God will send somebody along that will show her we're all just like her. We're sinners. We're just saved by grace. And she needs that same grace that I have. And folks, that's where we need to be. And that's what I love so much about Jonah. Every time we get into this, and we could probably study this for a month because there's just so much here. And there's so many different ways that we can apply this to our personal life on a daily basis to make us better Christians and better servants for the Lord. And more now than ever. I mean, I honestly believe that the trumpet's going to sound at any time. And we need to be ready. Amen? And I'm going to stop right there. Brother Burke, just give me that evil eye. My time is up. All right.